Amen, amen. Sorry, I was look like you guys, or sounds like you guys couldn't hear me. So, I'll say it again. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Teller Tabernacle Live. Welcome Teller Tabernacle family, all our friends joining us through Facebook and YouTube, you know, at home, and those of you who are here, good morning and welcome. Amen, amen. And we are streaming live from Philadelphia, where our elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. Good morning again. All right, first of all, let me do this. For those of us in the sanctuary, to exit at the end of service by using the side ramp. Okay. There's also going to be, Deacon Abrams is going to mention this again, but the, baskets for offering are right there. As you go out, you can drop them and head on out. Okay. Just so we're aware, they're going to come in through there and we're going to go out through the side door. Amen. All right. All right. So if you don't mind, get your sword. I'm going to get right to the scripture of the day. We're in Colossians 3:15-17. Amen. All right, in verse 15, read. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the which is also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you right richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. I like that scripture. In other words, it just says, keep a song, a scripture, or something in your heart that can keep you focused on the Lord. Amen. And Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for this day, God. Thank you for this day, Lord. Father, you kept us all week, all night. And then this mist of trouble, the cloud of trouble that's all around us, somehow, some way, you have not only led or provided a way, but you kept us, Lord. And you're still guiding us, Lord. You're still leading us, Lord. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Father, remember our leaders this morning, Lord, leaders of this world, leaders of this city, leaders of the state, leaders of this church, God. Remember our pastor today. Keep him, walk before him, that he may comfortably and without confusion or strain or stress, rightly divide the word to your people, Lord. Father, we thank you for this day once again. And today we pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen, amen. Now everybody at home and everybody in here, get your swords ready. We welcome our pastor, Jonathan Ford. Amen.
Good morning and God bless you. Thank you once again for joining us on this Sunday morning. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it, right? Anybody glad for this day? I'm so glad. It's the day that I am alive and I am well, right? And that I can see the handiworks of God. If you have your Bibles, we're going straight to the Word of God. I'm in the book of Exodus this morning. Chapters 35 and 36. Neighbors to one another. And I'm going to add to the witness out of 2 Corinthians 9 verses 6 through 8. So again, the book of Exodus, chapter 35, we're going to read verses 20 through 22. Then we're going to go to chapter 36. We're going to read verses 2 through 7. And then we'll conclude in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Amen? Exodus 35, beginning at verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all of its service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, and as many as had a willing heart, brought earrings, nose rings, rings, and necklaces, and all jewelry of gold, that is, and every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. Amen. Again, we're just going to go next door, Exodus 36. We'll pick it up at verse 2, read down to verse 7. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, I've been working all week trying to get his name right, Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, and everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all of the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. And so they continued bringing to him free will offerings every morning. And then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do." So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people were restrained from bringing. For the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, and indeed too much. Amen. We're going to have church today. We're going to have church today. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Amen. This Sunday, I want to talk about more than enough. Amen. More than enough. Our God and our Father, we thank you for being more than enough for us. Thank you for being more than our problems and more than our issues, more than our challenges. We're so grateful for your word because your word declares unto us, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Thank you for the sufficiency that we have in you through and by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we thank you as we begin this new year and embark on the coming days, weeks, months, years ahead of us, knowing that the victory is already ours by Christ Jesus. So we thank you and we praise you. We ask that you would consecrate your word to our heart, press it and cause it to be stamped there, that we might live and not sin against you. This is our heart's desire. We ask in the name of your beloved Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Just going to walk our way through these passages here briefly, going back to Exodus 35. This here is retelling the story of the building of the tabernacle by the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. And it says, all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from Moses. He had spoke to them, given them a command, let them know what was needed. God gave Moses the blueprint for the tabernacle. And Moses came down and he gave the blueprint to the artisans, to the workers. And he gave to the congregation, he said, this is what God wants. So this is how he wants this. He told the artisans, this is how it's to be built. He told the people, this is what's needed. Okay? And we see their response there in 21. It says, then everyone came whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all of its service and its holy garment. In response to what God wanted, the people gave willingly. Okay? They gave willingly. They came, both men, women, and as many as had a willing heart, and they brought the earrings, nose rings, and necklaces, and jewelry of gold, you keep reading, they brought other stuff, garments, badger skins, silks, and all that was required to fashion the tabernacle after God's blueprint. The people gave it, okay? And they gave in abundance. But the thing I wanted to point out there, it says everyone whose heart was stirred and whose spirit was willing. Amen? Again, let's go next door, chapter 36, and we'll read that passage there. And every gifted, it's the Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, and everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all of the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. And they continued bringing to him free will offerings every morning. And then all of the craftsmen, I want you to listen to this. Then all of the craftsmen who were doing all of the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. You follow me on that? So as often came in, money, the supplies, whatever is needed, they began to do the work. But the job of collecting the offering began to take up so much time they couldn't work a full day's work. Because they would spend the better part of the day collecting the offering. This is what it's saying. You got to read this, right? all of the craftsmen who were doing all of the work of the sanctuary came each from the work. He had to stop working, stop building the house. He came, and this is what they came to Moses, and look what they said, verse 5. They spoke to Moses saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us. They literally came to Moses and said, we got too much of what we need. We've got too much gold. We've got too many bags. It said, watch this. They had given so much, it became a problem. Are you following what I'm saying? So they said, they couldn't stop the people. So they go to Moses, who was the one who had commanded the people based on instructions from God. So verse 6, and so Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the whole camp, all of Israel, to all 12 tribes, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing. They gave so much, God had to stop them from giving. You follow what I'm saying? Because what? It was God who what? Stirred them in the first place to give. Do you follow what I'm saying? But the anointing of generosity was so strong and so great on it, they gave too much to the point where God had to tell Moses, give another command and tell them to stop. Are you following this? This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. Verse 7, they said, for the material they had was sufficient for all of the work to be done, and indeed was too much. Now, I don't know whatever project you have tackled before in the past, or any assignment, or anything that you've had to work to complete in some way or form, where you've ever encountered a situation where you've had too much of what you needed. But that's what we're reading about today. The artisans, the workmen, literally had too much of what they needed. Are you following what I'm saying? The children of Israel gave sacrificially to the work of the tabernacle. And in fact, Moses had to command the people to stop giving because they had given more than enough. Amen. All right. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 9:6. Now, I read it the first time out of the New King James translation. I'm going to work it through, but I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Okay? So it may sound a little different. Same passage. I'm just reading out of the Amplified Bible. It says, now remember this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed himself. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. God is able to make all grace, meaning every favor and earthly blessing, come in abundance back to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances and regardless of your need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. So looking at verse 6 here. He who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. Sows generously reaps generously. This is a simple and self-evident aggregarian principle which the Apostle Paul applies to Christian giving. And that is, the harvest is directly proportionate to the amount of seed sown. Okay? You give little, you reap little. You give abundantly, you reap abundantly. And that's why, from an agricultural standpoint, for the farmer who has seed, when he goes out in the early spring to plant his garden, to put seed in the ground, he spreads seed abundantly. You follow what I'm saying? He doesn't want the guy to come back and still have seed in the bag. You got seed in the bag, you got to do what? You got to go back out there, man. Put that seed out, you know what I mean? Because, watch this, seed in the bag does you no good. Why? Because it doesn't reap a harvest. In order for seed to reap a harvest, you have to sow it into what? Good ground. You got to get it in the ground. You follow what I'm saying? And so Paul is using that principle to help them to understand that the way it works in nature is the same way it works in the kingdom of God. When a generous believer gives by faith with a desire to produce the greatest possible blessing to that which they are giving, that believer will receive that kind of blessing in return. I don't know if you realize I just said something. When a generous believer gives by faith with a desire to produce the greatest possible blessing, watch this, to that which they are giving, right? Not, I'm trying to produce the greatest possible blessing for me. No, I'm trying to do the best I can for whoever I am sowing this into, or whatever I'm giving it the best so that they could reap the best out of my gift, right? He said, because if you do it that way, that believer will receive that same kind of blessing back onto them. And I got a witness. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, and so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. He's saying that as you honor God in your generosity with your willing giving, you follow what I'm saying? God said, I'll make sure your barns are filled with plenty and that your presses burst forth with new wine. Are you with me in that? Tell God, say, Lord, I need some new wine. That means you got to sow some new seed, right? Right, right? Because as you sow it, as a man soweth, so shall he also what? Reap. There it is, verse 7. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart to do, not grudgingly or under any compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. Now, have you ever been at someone's table and you've remarked to them about how good this meal tastes? I mean, this is exceptional. I mean, I've never eaten anything like that. And if you've ever had a meal like that, maybe you've heard the cook say this sometimes. Say, no, it's not much. The only thing is, I put a little love in it. It's the same amount of salt, same amount of pepper. Saying that nothing's really, the only thing is, I put a little love. I put my heart into it. And I put it in such a capacity. Watch this. You can literally taste it in your mouth. I wish I had a real church. I'm not even using Bible. That's your mother or grandmother showing you how it works in the kingdom. It wasn't enough that they gave you the gift, which is the food, but because they put their heart into it, because they did it with love, because they did it with compassion, it not only brings a satisfaction to you, but it brings an abundance of joy in your life. Tell your neighbor, it matters how you give. If you're not going to give with your heart in it, don't give it. If you're not going to give with some love in it, don't give it. Right? Right? Because that's how it goes from being abundance to being super abundant. Are you with me this Sunday morning? All giving should be done willingly. Giving is not only about the gift, but also the attitude behind it. We are to be cheerful in our giving because we understand as believers, children of God, that our capacity to give is determined by God and not ourselves. When you know that God is your source, you can be cheerful in giving since you understand there would be no possibility of giving if God hadn't given it to you in the first place. I wish I had a real church. I'm preaching better than y'all responding this time. I might have to call the whole church back for this. Do you follow what I'm saying? We can be careful in our giving because we understand that there would have been no possibility of giving if God hadn't given it to us in the first place. Wherever you are, if you're here in the sanctuary, your home, kitchen, or you're sitting on the sofa, wherever you are, look at somebody in your house and just look at them and tell them, God gave you that. That's how you got it. That's how you got it. No, it's not because the paycheck came in on Friday. It's not because you got your stimulus check. It's not because you got something back from paycheck. No, you got it because God gave it to you. And because God gave it to you, you got to understand that if God could give you that, He has the ability to give you so much more. And God issues a faith challenge to the believer to say, I want you to put your faith in action. I want you to give out of the very thing that I've given to you and see what I will do for you. But see, a lot of times we got the principle in reverse. We get it and we want to hold on to it to ensure that we always have. Now, here's the thing. You're partly right. You're partly right. You will always have. Why? Because you're keeping it. But this is the thing you'll miss out on. You'll never have any more. I wish I had a real church. This is a message for people who are givers already. That the key to increase in the kingdom is not holding on to what you have, but releasing what you have back into the hand of God. And then allow God to add interest to what He has already given you in the first place. Somebody shout yes. I got a witness. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Why? Touch him and say, because He gave it to you in the first place. Here it is. For it is God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Here it is. Here it is. That He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto the fathers even to this very day. So when God gives, He gives with a purpose. And the purpose is more than you just being blessed. But God gives so He can establish a covenant between you and God. Between earth and heaven, between your house and His house, God said, if you give it back, I'll return it. Press down, shake it. Too early, too early, too early in the sermon. That's too early in the sermon. Here it is. Here it is. One of the ways you know you're growing in your faith is when you give with a glad heart in response to God's goodness to you. Giving should be a joy, not a job. I wish I had my real church this Sunday. Giving should be a joy, not a job. Because when the believer gives, they already know how it's going to end on their behalf. If I just give it back to God, He's going to return it not only in full, but God will add interest to what you've given. He'll bless not only the recipient, but He'll bless the giver as well. I'm out of time. If I had time, I'd preach this, but I don't have the time this Sunday. Here it is, verse 8. Here it is. God is able to make all grace, meaning every favor and every earthly blessing, come in abundance to you. So that, here he is, God given with purpose, you may always, under any circumstance, regardless of any need, have complete sufficiency in everything. Being completely self-sufficient in Him and have an abundance for every good work, every act of charity, every act of kindness, every act of mercy, every act of forgiveness. God has promised you'll never run. Woo! Let me have it. Tell somebody, you'll never run out. You'll never run out. God has promised. He's promised your barns will always be full and your chambers shall burst with fresh wine. Ay, 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 ay. Woo! Here it is. God possesses an infinite amount of grace. And He gives it lavishly and never holds back. When a believer generously gives his resources, God graciously replenishes them so they have always plenty and will never be in need. That's why the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I wish I had a real church. My real church would take over this sermon. My real church would say, "Pastor, give me the mic. I'm going to hoop it out from here. Because I know the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall never want." Because God has I gotta quit. Here it is. Proverbs 11:25. the generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters will always be watered himself. So if you give water into somebody else's ground, God will send rain into your fields. He's promised, if you water somebody else, I will water your ground. Shout yes. Woo! Yes. 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 Oh my. Well, look at somebody and tell them, it's about to rain. It's about to rain. Here it is. Wait. Get your seed in the ground. It's on the verge. Sometime this week, it's gonna, it has to, it shall rain. Yes. Woo! I got a witness. I heard the prophet tell the king, he said, eat and drink, for I hear, somebody put your hand up to your ear. He didn't say I see it, but I hear it down in my spirit. He said, I hear an abundance of rain about to hit this house. The drought is over. The famine is broken. Poverty is coming to an end because God is sending. He's sending the rain. I can hear it. I can hear it in my spirit. Somebody shout yes. Yes. Here it is. Here it is. Let me get out of this message. Towards the end, he says, having complete sufficiency in everything. That means being completely self-sufficient in God. Paul says earlier in his letter, 2 Corinthians 3:15, 3 and 5, he says, not that we are sufficient ourselves to think of anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, Paul was using this principle as it related to the mysteries or the revelation of the Word of God. And the apostles work as being ministers of God. But it applies here as well. Because our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Because I told you earlier, if you got it, God gave it to you. So our sufficiency is of God. Here it is. If you get this, you got the whole sermon. So if you're a believer and God is your source and you give by faith, God has promised that he'll give it back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So our real issue becomes how much confidence we have in God. And again, where we usually get tripped up on this, when it comes to blessed and being blessed, we always look at the equation as how much sufficiency we have in ourselves and what I can do for myself. You want to help me preach this message? I need you wherever you are. It's going to be hard if you're here in the sanctuary. At home, you can do it. But get yourself a good mirror. Look in the mirror and just say to yourself, go somewhere and sit down. You missed it. You missed it. Missed it. The problem is we're always standing up for ourselves. But the key in the kingdom is to realize all you got to do is sow and then sit down. Why? Because God has promised to do in your life that which you cannot do by yourself. Now here it is. Let me give you this. You get this. I'm telling you, you got the whole sermon. That Paul says, but our sufficiency is of God. The term, the name, El Shaddai, is one of the seven covenant names through which God revealed himself and his character to the children of Israel. The name El Shaddai in Hebrew means the all-sufficient one. Now you can see why Paul says our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Our sufficiency is what? Of God. Why? His name is El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient one. But another understanding of the name El Shaddai means the God who is more than enough. You can have this sermon. You don't need the video. You don't need to get it on. You can have it yourself. And all you got to do is remember his name. Because his name says he's the God of more than enough. So whatever you need, if you just put it in the ground and let God work with it, he'll prove in your life that he's more than enough. Somebody say El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai is his name. And he's more than enough. Give him a praise. What's his name, church? Do you know his name? He's more than the whole world against you. and his name is El Shaddai. His name is more than enough. Yes. So as you go further into 2021, as you look over your New Year's resolutions, New Year goals, New Year assignments, I want you to commit it all into God's hands and just remember his name. What's his name, church? What's his name, church? What's his name? His name is El Shaddai. Here it is. So where am I going with this message? I want you to know going into this year that God is more than enough for what you are trying to accomplish. And if you would just get out of the way and just get your seed in the ground, that's all you got to do. Just get your seed in the ground. Don't put it in your project. Don't put it in this. No. At first, get up in your mind. This is what I'm putting in the ground for God. For God's work, God's ministry. I'm going to let God tell me when it's enough. Then I'm just going to sit back and watch God do the rest. I feel this message so strongly in my spirit. I believe God wants to bless somebody this year in an abundance. The only thing standing between you and a supernatural abundance from God is you getting your seed in the ground. And all after that, all you got to do is just remember what his name is. His name is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the God who is more than enough. Here's the challenge to our church. If you're out there this Sunday and you are a part of Tailored Nation, you're out on Facebook, you're streaming on YouTube, you're part of our friends and family, supporter of this work and in this ministry. For over the past 5 years, unsuccessfully every year, we've tried to renovate a home we own behind the church. For the last 5 years, there's always been something in our way. Every year. Last year, it's the pandemic itself. Years before, it was always something. Always something. And as I began to consecrate and go before God in the new year, God, in my own spirit, God said, this is the year. I was like, wait, I'll be honest with you. I was supposed to start the new year with this message, but I lacked the faith to preach it. So I just came out here and gave you some New Year suggestions. That's all. I just gave you that. Because I didn't have the faith to believe God to do something we could not do over the last 5 years. But God said, this is the year. I said, God, what about the pandemic? He said, this is the year. God, what about the economic problem? Folks are in a tight place, lost jobs, financial. He said, yep, this is the year. Listen to this. He said, I delayed you on purpose. See, I need a real church to get this message. If you young in the faith, you already shouting and are tired. You ready to wipe off and get a cup of coffee and sit down. But you that are strong in the Lord, this is strong meat. God said, I delayed you on purpose. He said, I waited for the pandemic. He said, I waited for the economic crisis. He said, I waited for the social unrest in the country. He said, I waited for the political turmoil. He said, I waited for that. Because he said, when this thing is done, he said, I want the church to be sure to give God the praise. So I'm going to take you down to almost nothing. Then I'm going to command the people to bring an offering into the Lord's house. He led me to Exodus. He said, if I did it then, he said, surely I can do it now. And I apologize to you as my congregation for not having the faith to preach what God gave me. Took me almost 2 weeks, 3 weeks, just to get the courage to preach it. And I know it's God's word because he put his anointing on it. Can't manufacture the anointing. It's either on it or it's not. Our challenge, church members, supporters, friends, partners, we're going to do it this year. I've already told Reverend Radcliffe. I've already told Deacon Abrams. This year, we're going to do it. We're going to ask the people to give. Cheerfully. Not grudgingly. Not with any type of bad attitude. But we're going to give cheerfully. We're going to give generously. And after we get our seed in the ground, we're just going to sit back and just watch the name of El Shaddai do what we could not do in our own strength. So that's the word for the house. This year, we are going to put our faith in action. And it's going to require every one of us who has a willing heart and a willing spirit to give above and beyond. Radcliffe is reporting big numbers. Everything in the house must be torn out. Everything. We even got to take the dirt out. That's how bad the dirt's even bad. We got to take the dirt out and put new dirt in. That's how bad this. And all of you men know I'm telling the truth because you've been in that house. Trying to help us glue it together and tape it together and hold it together so it don't collapse on itself. But this year, God's sending an abundance into the house of God. And we're going to do this year what we have not been able to do in years past. Taylor, I appreciate you. Every Sunday you listen faithfully and attentively. And I thank you in advance for your partnership and participation in this endeavor that is before our church. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen, amen. Tell a family. Don't go running off. Don't turn off the TV. Let that soak in. Hallelujah. Aaron, you want to come now? Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. We transition to the joyous part of the service. Amen. We are going to transition to our giving, being good stewards to what God has already given to us. Because giving is for us, because God owns it all. Amen. He owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the gold, the silver. All of it is God's. And he entrusts us with it. so that we can cheerfully give back to him, not based on what we see, but based on faith in what God has said, and we believe it. So this morning, you may give through one of three ways, through text to give, giving through our website, and also using the U.S. Postal Mail Service. To give by text message, just text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving, and then follow the instructions. And to give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And for those of you who are gathered here in the sanctuary, we have two baskets by the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offering, and the other for the preacher of the hour. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. And at this time, we will have our announcements by Deacon Todd McCoy.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody who's watching us. The pastor and the leadership team, we would like to say thank you and welcome you to all who are participating via Facebook and YouTube Live. We are so grateful and happy that the Lord has allowed the church to reopen. Amen. So that we can come here and hear the preached word and that you can join us over the internet. Amen. Amen. Now we just want to note that if you do want to come down here for service in response to the restrictions that were set forth by the city of Philadelphia, there are 10 people that are allowed in the sanctuary, and then we can accommodate another 12 on the third floor because we're also broadcasting up there. So you're welcome to join us. But if you're going to come and join us, we ask that a couple things. One, that you would take your temperature, make sure you don't have a fever before you leave your home, and also that if you are going to come down and join us, make sure that you are prepared and bring your mask. Amen? Amen, because we want to make sure that we celebrate the Lord, but that we don't spread this virus. Amen? Amen. And also that if you have been exposed or you think there's been an exposure, we ask that you just hold off. If you've been exposed and you don't have symptoms, just hold off. That has actually happened with some of the members in this church where we thought there was a risk. We held off. We weren't here for a Sunday. We ended up being COVID negative, and then we've come out to join. Amen? Amen. Also, I want to announce and just make sure that if you're trying to come down, the church van remains in suspension status. Once everything opens up in the city, then we'll talk about resuming driving. But right now, there is no van service. Now, the announcement I want to make sure that we stress, tomorrow is when the nation commemorates Martin Luther King's birthday. Amen? Amen. The Alliance invites you to an MLK Day of Service virtual workshop. So that would be tomorrow, Monday, January 18th at 11 a.m. Title, Role of Sports in Combating Racism and Anti-Semitism. What lessons can we learn from Martin Luther King Jr. about combating racism and anti-Semitism as they apply to the world of sports? She would join the discussion with Marcus Allen, CEO of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and former professional basketball player. Bruce Pearl, head coach of the Auburn Tigers men's basketball team. He led that team to their first ever NCAA Final Four in 2019. Now, to register for this event, please go to the website www.alliance, and that's A-L-L-I-A-N-C-E-O-F-T-R-U-S-T, so allianceoftrust.org, O-R-G. Amen. I'll do that one more time if you're at home trying to write it down. www.alliance.oftrust.org. Amen. This event is sponsored by Mainline Reformed Temple, Taylor Tabernacle, and Temple Bethel. Amen. Amen. Further announcements. Friday night prayer and Bible study continue at 7:30 p.m. You can participate by calling into the church's conference line, which is 775-799-9141. Amen. And apart from that, if you also want to reach out to the church because you have a prayer request, please visit the church's website, which is www.taylortabernacle.com. You can go to the prayer request page, or if you can't reach out that way, you can always call the church at 215-748-4578 and leave a message with your prayer or your other request, and we will respond to you. Amen. Also, remember to hit subscribe on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming events. Amen? Amen. With that, I'm going to turn the floor over to our pastor.
God bless you, Taylor Nation. Thank you again for another Sunday of you joining us here. Virtually online. We thank you for your participation and support. Hey, I was in the office there and I was thinking, this scripture came to mind and David said, I was once young, but now I am old. And he said, I've never once seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know why that's true? Because he's more than enough. And he's promised to supply all of our need by Christ Jesus. And so we're glad about it. Hey, let me bless you so we can depart. I know you're making the church hop this Sunday. You got to switch over to another channel. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Pray that the Lord bless you in all manner of ways so that your life would be an example both to the just as well as to the unjust. God bless you, Taylor. Be blessed. We'll see you next Sunday.